Jeremiah 13. Thus said Yahweh to me, go and buy yourself a linen belt and put it on your waist and don't put it in water. So I bought a belt according to the word of Yahweh, put it on my waist. And the word of Yahweh came to me the second time, saying, take the belt that you have bought, which is on your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as Yahweh commanded me. That is a really long journey, very long journey. And of course, it's to symbolize how the people were to go into captivity at the very end of the land promised to Abraham, the Euphrates, in Babylon. That was the idea. And of course, Babylon at this time was coming to invade Judah, so it was a journey really into enemy territory. God does sometimes at times ask you to do things that appear crazy, and Jeremiah is an example of that, but that's okay. As Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. So, it happened after many days that Yahweh said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take the belt from there, which I commanded you to hide there. All the way back there. I went to the Euphrates and dug and took the belt from the place where I had hidden it. But the belt was ruined. It was unfit for use. And the word of the Lord came, saying, in this way I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. So the real idea was that they would go into captivity and be reformed, in that they would lose their pride. This was the problem. You could have said the problem was idol worship or whatever, but the real problem was their pride. And the idea of the captivity then was to destroy their pride. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their heart, shall be as this belt, profitable for nothing. The idea was that although they were useless, yet they were still to be brought back. And God uses that which is apparently useless. This is his style. He uses the broken. As the belt clings to the waist of a man, so have I caused to cling to me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, says Yahweh, that they may be to me for a people and for a name, for a praise and a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore, you shall speak to them this word. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall tell you, don't we certainly know that every bottle will be filled with wine? Now, a bottle here, of course they didn't have glass bottles. Really, it's like a wine skin. Then you shall tell them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit on David's throne, with drunkenness. I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says Yahweh. I will not pity nor spare nor have compassion. Well, in the end, God does have pity, and he does spare and have compassion, but he is angry. And the fact that he changed his intention to totally destroy them is the same as what happened when he says to Moses, I will totally destroy this people and make of you a great nation. And Moses says, oh, don't do that, and God doesn't. God is so compassionate, and got all this history in the Bible of God's amazing grace with Israel to encourage us that he is very pitiful with us. Listen, don't be proud. You see, pride is the huge killer. Don't be proud, for Yahweh has spoken. Give glory to Yahweh your God. Before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death. So, he's saying, humble yourself before God's word and don't be proud. Listen and don't be proud because God has spoken. We may say quite easily that, oh yeah, the Bible is the inspired word of God, God has spoken. But if he has, and he has, then we must be humble before that word, even if we don't understand it completely. But we must humble ourselves and not think, yeah, well, that's what God says, but I think this, because that is pride. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret for your pride, and my eyes shall weep bitterly and run down with tears. So, I think this is maybe Jeremiah saying this, I will weep secretly for your pride. That he was so hurt that they were not humbling themselves. He had a heart that bled for these people. He wasn't saying to himself, well, there you are, guys, you had the chance, you didn't want it. You're too arrogant and stuck up to want it. No, his eyes wept, and he did so secretly. He really was so sad that they would not humble themselves. Say to the king and to the queen mother, humble yourselves. Again, you see, it's humility that's needed, isn't it? Sit down, for your headdresses have come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south are shut up, and there is none to open them. Judah is carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north, the Babylonians. Where is the flock that was given you, your beautiful flock? What will you say when he shall punish you? You have provoked them to be captains and rulers over you. Shall not sorrows take hold of you, as of a woman in travail? If you say in your heart, again, the focus on the heart, why are these things come on me? For the greatness of your iniquity are your skirts lifted up. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. This is how it seemed, that they just would not change. Their sinfulness was ingrained, it seems, in them. Therefore will I scatter them, as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, says Yahweh, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I also lift your skirts up above your face, and your shame shall appear. I have seen your abominations, even your adulteries and your neighing, the lewdness of your prostitution on the hills and the field. Woe to you, Jerusalem! You will not be made clean, but how long shall it yet be? Even at this very dire last moment, God is still thinking, how long until you repent? And all their idolatry, just like all our idolatry, is an act of unfaithfulness to God. And he says, I have seen this. What he was most angry with, I think, was their refusal to accept that God saw those things. They just thought that God was, well, just getting on and not paying attention. And that is what hurt God, I think, even more than their sin.